Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hey guys, welcome to a very special, wait, what? Bonus episode, except I say they're all very special, but whatever, this one's special too.
You wanted it.
You wanted it.
You got it.
You got it.
That was so great.
I love you, now die.
That's what I say to all my ex-boyfriends.
If you couldn't already tell, we are drinking for this episode.
That's what I say to my current boyfriend that I live with in my home. I'm like, yeah. I love you, but get the fuck out of
That's
here.
That's what cats say to you, I feel like.
This is a very cat move. I don't even know if they have the love. Cats
right.
are just like
cats
no
are
God.
Like I'm indifferent to yeah. your presence, and I'd prefer if you died.
Cats have no loyalty to nobody.
True.
Nobody.
But yeah, we're talking about the Michelle Carter documentary. Everyone's been blowing up our inbox. Also, we were gonna watch it anyway.
Like, yeah,
we have hear some you. Faith in us.
Yeah, of course we're gonna talk about it. This is obviously a wild ride of a case.
Yeah. So anybody want to just give like a quick Cliff Notes version for those of you who haven't watched the doc?
Our quick Cliff Notes would be, obviously, this was the case of a teenage boy named
Conrad Roy III,
who was suicidal and apparently had this long distance relationship with this girl named Michelle Carter via text, via Skype, via email, whatever, and she apparently was very persuasive in telling him to also to assist him in killing. Well, not assist him. I mean, that's the whole thing. That's what we're going to talk about. But
he would talk to her about wanting to kill
himself.
Committing
suicide.
Yeah. She was the person communicating with him extensively
about
on
this.
The night that he
yes.
committed
yeah.
suicide.
Yes.
And this was 5 years ago, which is wild because I remember my friend group chat fucking wiling over
yeah.
this shit when it was happening.
Yeah.
But it was 5 years ago. This documentary just came out, and I literally lost my train of thought. But she was charged and later convicted of involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah, and she just started serving. That's why
literally,
it's
yeah.
like interesting that's. I mean, obviously, timing of the documentary, but she just started serving mm-hmm. her sentence, which is when we get to that part when we talk about the judicial system. When we talk about the judicial system, it will be interesting at how long and how you can stay out of jail while you're appealing it. But
because that blew my mind.
If
yes.
you're white.
Yeah,
probably.
If you're a white
most likely.
Who looks like Cara Delevingne.
That
was crazy because when they showed her earlier photos, she just looked like a regular ass like high school girl.
No,
and she really got a glow up.
Part
for
two, because it's a two-parter.
Yeah.
Part two, the eyebrows came out to play. She
oh,
had
yeah.
two witnesses on her
weight.
Side.
Yeah.
yeah,
she dropped weight. She got the lob. She got the eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
The eyebrows were a totally different color than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
Like she had the courtroom glow up.
I mean, at sentencing though, she had a full Kate Gosselin bob.
Oh,
she had
right.
a full Kate
yeah.
yep. Gosselin. May I speak to your manager? Cup.
That's true.
She
honestly,
totally
I liked
did.
It. I think she kind of pulled it off.
I think she looked better at the end than she had the whole thing. I mean, like, you can't put those eyebrows on and then expect to not be,
yeah.
like, then try to get a job when you get out of jail. People are going to be like, I know those eyebrows. Those
oh,
eyebrows
no.
helped kill a guy.
Mm-hmm. It's a little Collins issue. Like, she can't
like I said, that documentary should be called Eyebrows That Kill.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's going to be the book about my life. Actually, I don't have good eyebrows, so never mind.
Eyebrows That
so
Kill.
So you were familiar with the case. Did you know a lot about this case before
yeah,
you watched the documentary?
I mean, not a lot about it, but I knew... It's very interesting watching the documentary changed what I thought about the
100%.
Case. And I'm gonna take
a little bit. For me, it changed a little bit because I remember following it at the time and reading all the texts. And my impression was like, oh my God, this girl's a monster. My impression was her being like, just fucking do it, you pussy, whatever. She obviously didn't say it in those exact words because
mm-hmm.
I reread it, but I just remember my impression being so strong that she was so coercive about it.
Interesting too, because they talk about how the media was interpreting the case when it was happening.
Yep.
Even some of the text messages that were published in the paper and stuff like that weren't actually
text messages
that she sent. Because all I remember from this case, I didn't remember it a ton
was
until
Get back in the car.
Well, that's the clinching one.
But it's not something she sent to him. No, yeah. It's something she sent to a friend
exactly.
Mm-hmm. That she said. She said, but what we learned in the documentary is that this girl is a story weaver. That she had been so. Mm-hmm. Who actually knows what she told Conrad? The only thing we know is that she told her friend that that's what she said.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about that though. Because
let's talk about it all.
Yes. Okay. So the judge pretty much, she had sent him all these texts that were like, just do it. Here's what you need to do. Like, you know, just go through with it. Blah blah blah. The judge was honestly fine with all of that. The judge didn't think any of that made her responsible. Mm-hmm. What it was really the three words that convicted her was get back in when she instructed him to get back in the car. And now her lawyers are like, well, she used to lie. So did she really even say that? And I just thought that that was like a little convenient. What did you guys think? Did you buy that?
Well, it's an interesting thing where, because when they talked about her, it was sort of like she wasn't not a people pleaser, but she wanted people to like her and wanted kind of attention and things like that. So I feel like her story, whereas some people who do lies, they have their lie down pat and it sticks with it. Her story was constantly evolving and changing to a part where you're like, oh, I don't really know what's real and what's not.
Let's get into her lies and shit like that too, because I felt like that's a very important part.
That's the part,
and a part that wasn't mentioned in the initial stories about her kind of need to be like, and her like lack of friendships and in her life, and how
it shined a light on like her disorder as well.
I thought it was so interesting that it was all these girls that were kind of like, I don't know, we didn't really hang out with her, and how she very much wanted attention and would constantly tell people, I don't have friends. Like, this was a very sad girl.
Agreed. The media, like, in 2014 painted her as this like stable, temptress, manipulator.
This is a blonde girl who took advantage of a sad boy.
They were like, this is she had been planning this. This is a whole like, she what's the word when you
ringleader?
No, when you have like power over, brainwash. She brainwashed him. I should know that. We talk about
right.
I literally only said ringleader because I was thinking of that Britney Spears song. I'm like the ringleader. I call the shots. So.
The initial story, when you read the snippets of it, paint her as a mastermind. I want to get deep into this doctor that they had. Here's the thing.
He was like a doctor that SVU would call to try out some ridiculous new theory to see if it would stick in court.
It was like an open mic character.
But listen.
He's like, hi, I have 5 minutes character for you. I'm a doctor.
But here's the thing. First off, when he said the whole thing, when he's like, I don't know, you know, there's a whole history about women being witches and they're untrustworthy. I'm like, maybe if the men weren't raping the women, we wouldn't have to turn to dark magic. You know, like there is, when he said that, I was like, that's fucking wild. But
that was a little far, but I understood that, like, the general point that he was making. And it's interesting to think that if it was a girl who'd committed suicide because a guy had convinced her, would be even be having this discussion. Don't you think the media portrayal would be like, oh, well, women are emotional and we're, you know,
I mean, it might be.
I just wonder.
That's a fair question to wonder. I don't know. And I even wonder if they're, I don't know. I've never really heard of anything kind of, you don't hear much about assisted suicide besides Dr. Kevorkian.
I didn't know that there were moments of it. I guess it was just kind of my like novice of it, unless it was like in like a medical setting or something like that. Whenever you hear that term, it is sort of in a situation where you're like helping someone who is on their deathbed.
Or it's a little Romeo and Juliet. There's a couple like teenage stories of that. I remember reading about one years ago and then reading The Pact and being...
The Pact.
Do you remember The Pact?
Jodi Picoult. Wow. Shouts out.
She's amazing, by the way. She's amazing on Twitter. I wonder if she would talk to
her.
I would love her.
Her son is married to a guy who's from my hometown.
All right, Danny,
You're the hookup. I love Jodi Picoult. I love everything she does. But what I was going to say about the doctor.
Sorry, I derailed us.
I know, but I mean, but it's a wonderful book. But that's the only other time I've heard about kind of like those assisted suicides when it's kind of like
you wouldn't hear about it because it's not usually a crime. That was the whole argument. That was the whole thing.
The doctor made some very interesting points about children on medication and children suffering from certain manias and certain depressions. And, so I am led to believe that we have a situation of two sick people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's literally, it's it's two sick people wading through shit.
And I think it really
they're just knee deep in each other's shit. And it's so unfortunate that it ended like this, but they were both mentally.
Yeah.
They
and were I sick. Think that quote that we were kind of talking about before recording really summed up my feelings about it, where it's like something could be so immoral and disgusting and wrong in hindsight, but it's not illegal. And it's not like there's such a unpacking of the intent and what she was doing with those text messages, mm-hmm. where I feel like it's one of those things she just wanted his attention, love, and was troubled, where it's like she would say anything to make him or make her think that he would like her more. And then it's kind of like the
I don't know.
And it's that fixation where it was like when they said like with her psychosis, once she was locked onto something, she had to do that thing. Where yeah, like it was the thing yeah. where it's like once he said she that that's what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
She was like, okay, it has to happen. You need to do this. You need it.
So did you guys bought that argument that he was like, well, she was on Prozac and she just switched, so she was temporarily intoxicated or whatever the phrase they used. Did you guys buy that?
I bought that these are when they went back also and showed the kind of history of their text messages when he was in this dark place and he's like, yeah. I've seen the devil and all that stuff. So I don't know if either one of you had did either one of you guys go through this and were had to be like medicated or anything like that? Like, mm-hmm. do either one of you?
I mean, I have a Xanax prescription to help me sleep sometimes. But yeah. No.
Well, when I was in high school, I went through the whole thing. Like, I took Accutane.
Oh, which, no.
mm-hmm, yeah.
What, for your acne?
Yeah. I'd had all the side effects. So I went through.
Oh, wait. Tell me.
A huge, like, suicide. I was hospitalized. I had all this stuff. I cut myself. Oh, my gosh. All this stuff. So I went on all these medicines. And so watching this, you go, when you hear about, watching his videos when he talks about not understanding why he doesn't feel okay and all that stuff. I like so heavily related to it. And then also being a teenager that was on medicine that didn't make me feel any, that made me feel crazier and still made me feel more out of control. When I watched that, I was kind of like, yeah, these are two people that their body their chemistry, because you do have to, try a couple antidepressants before you find one that works with your body chemistry.
Because a lot of them don't work for
yeah
you.
And so yeah. there was so it's not a matter of buying if she was there's a matter of buying that like she was not she was just as out of control in her right. brain as he was mm-hmm. but there's also something that I feel very strongly about when it comes to mental illness and depression and suicide and things like that. Suicide is the most selfish disease, and that's yeah. why the most of the people that commit suicide, it's the people where you're like, they never even seem that way. You don't even talk about it. Like the fact that he was talking about it leads me to believe that he was reaching out to help. He was just reaching out to another sick person.
Right.
And that's where strikes
and
me.
It's kind
you know?
Of an interesting thing. And we were texting about this
yeah.
where he was reaching out to her because I feel like they didn't really address it that much in both the court case and the documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His home life where,
which was a little bit.
Which was a little, I mean, the parents were certainly in denial.
Well, what also
were,
when the dad
yeah.
beat him up?
Or,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, the dad beat him up.
Yeah. So it's
but
like,
also, right. the mom was like, well, my child was sad. It made me sad. But like, I didn't
right,
get the sense
like
they were doing
had,
anything.
Right. If yeah. he had
like, my parents
suicide,
threw me in a fucking hospital. Yeah, like, we don't want to lose you.
He had attempted suicide four do. Times before. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, he feels sad sometimes. To me, they gave the impression that they were like, we had no idea he felt this way. When it's like, dude, he attempted suicide four times before that.
Yeah.
You had an idea.
And also,
you know?
It's one of those things. I mean, I obviously hindsight is 2020, but if you have someone who's struggling with that, you should send them somewhere to get help.
Yeah.
And also, you shouldn't just be like,
well, he was in a hospital.
Yeah.
He did, but then you keep them.
You keep
you
them.
Don't,
in, and also, you don't take them back to the room and be like, okay, well, here's your laptop and phone. Have fun, especially with like what kids can go through. And I mean,
and
it was 2013, which is a while ago, but I mean,
what they can look up themselves, what they can, what they have access to as teenagers.
And his Google history being like how to commit suicide and things like that.
It's
just
wild that his yeah. parents weren't monitoring yeah. his every behavior. Like my parents went, when I was in the hospital, my parents went through my room and took out anything that could possibly, they took out sharp objects. They took out like anything that could possibly be a weird thing. I mean, I was, had to be, I was watched like a hawk, and I get it. You know, yeah. I get it. Like they were like, we were like, whatever we, cause I even asked my dad, I'm like, you know, you medicated me. It didn't really, they were just, they tried anything to stop me from having yeah. this. when they were trying to understand what it was, mm-hmm. you know? So his parents, I feel like, not that it was their fault, but for them to put full entire blame on Michelle feels irresponsible to me.
That's my thing. When you consider
irresponsible.
That, I feel like we've talked about things like this before, or just even issues in the media mm-hmm. where like parents just go after kids, and it always feels a little inappropriate. Well, it feels inappropriate. Not a little.
Yeah.
It is a little appropriate. Like, you're the adult. I totally understand being hurt and wanting to blame someone. And I mean, personally, look, I went into this documentary being like, this bitch is evil.
Totally.
Same.
And you know what? 100%. I still feel she's a bit culpable. I haven't done a complete 180. No. I think her sentencing is fair.
Yeah.
Before I was like, maybe she should have gotten more prison time. I didn't know.
She had her own demons that I think she was overcoming.
She's sick. She was culpable.
Yeah.
But I do think, for the parents to put all the blame on her and also, is mm-hmm. a little, yeah.
It's irresponsible. Like you said, it's misplaced. It's very much misplaced. Like,
these parents know firsthand having a child who has demons and is going through things and stuff like that. And just that, like, I feel like they should have been able to see some of that in Michelle, even though they were looking at her so angry.
Well, look, they didn't really know her. It seemed like they had hung out maybe five times in person. But I mean, it was a long distance relationship.
Any of the court stuff coming up being like, oh, this girl is right, troubled. But
what are they
going to
do? They're not going to drop the court case in the middle of the case.
No, but it seemed as though that there was, I guess I look at this, and obviously you can't tell people how to act in a situation. Yeah. You can't tell the parents, like, you didn't act like the best parents, a depressed kid. You didn't act like the best friend. It seems as though I didn't hear them. We saw in the text messages that he said he was hospitalized, but we didn't really see the parents talk about how they were helping him. We saw them talk about Michelle. We saw them talk about that they were sad, that he was sad, but I never got the sense that they knew how to help him or that they were trying to help him, mm-hmm. which then, and so I don't know where that comes. Like, did you guys feel that?
Right. I didn't feel that at all. It's so hard with this stuff. Like, you really can't know. I'm not, especially not everyone is as progressive as we are. Like, not everybody thinks mental health is so important.
Yeah.
And honestly, maybe the filmmakers cut it out. Like, we just don't know. Why am I being so sympathetic to these parents right now? I have no idea.
I know you're usually the one that's always like, the parents are crazy.
I know,
right?
I know.
These parents are abusive.
Sarah's going horseback riding with an alien.
I stormed Area 51 already.
Yeah, by herself.
One person said that she liked my theory of an abducted in plain sight. So, you know, there could be 99 people in a room who think I'm insane, but one person thinks
that the parents that abducted in plain sight were being abusive.
At best, negligent. Come on.
At best.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think that it was one of the lawyers said it right at the beginning. It was two families just looking to not be at fault. Mm-hmm. And I think that was 100% spot on. I know we talked about this. I also thought it was interesting when the lawyer was talking about in the pre-hearing before there was like, you know, before she was even in the courtroom mm-hmm. when he was like, repulsive, or whatever they said. They said what she did was immoral, was disgusting, but it wasn't a crime. But that being said that I think that these are two sick people that were leaning mm-hmm. on each other in a very unhealthy, disgusting way. Mm-hmm. There were parts of her that were troublesome. The Glee stuff was super fucking
I was like, what?
Danny, we're gonna have to get you checked out right now.
Yeah. No, the Glee stuff and the whole softball game thing. She kept going, LOL, my idea. Ha ha, my idea. Well, oh my god, it's in my town. Ha ha.
Well, the softball game made me feel a little gross. Reading about that in 2014, and I think that was a big part of why people thought she just did this for attention. Mm-hmm. It was that, and it was, oh my god, I don't even remember what it was. It was like text to the friends.
It was, they said that she tested out the theory of him dying.
Oh yeah, the
first.
Dry run.
No.
That's exactly the dry run. I wrote this whole article on betches.com and now I don't even remember what I wrote myself.
Well, if you guys can find it in the archives, send it to betches.com.
If you remember what Sarah said, let us know.
No, I literally wrote this like 3 days ago. This like reminds me of when I took my AP European History exam, and they were like, what were the three classes of pre-French Revolution France? And I was like, oh, you had like the two people, and then I forgot the main class, the bourgeoisie, which like started the entire revolution, and so I got a three on the exam.
Oh my god!
So like, this is exactly like that. Anyways,
you're back to high school.
I'm like, oh,
she's like texting, making a softball game. I'm like, Sarah. Yeah.
No, that whole thing was a little.
It was very weird. It was like weird flex, but okay.
I also thought she put a lot on this friend Sam.
Oh yeah,
she put so like I could if I was Sam, I could only imagine being like, oh, Michelle's talking about committing suicide. Like I bet I can imagine somebody being being super like done with her and dramatics. The fact that it's like, hey, oh my god, my boyfriend's gonna kill myself. Oh my god, I'm gonna kill myself. Oh my god, I'm
like
so sad.
In high school, who like told me that she took a bunch of Advil one night, and
it's
I
a lot to
her
put on somebody
because
else.
Why would you not believe
you not?
That?
Like,
and then I told a teacher the next day when I saw her in school, and then she got mad at me for like tattling on her, and I was like,
I'm saving your life.
Yeah,
that's why I'm saying.
I mean,
like,
as far as I know, as you know,
that, anybody that talks about it, I think is actually does want help or attention, because I think that actual suicidal people they do not talk about it. It is it is a selfish thing. It happens without anybody knowing. They do it so secretly that it's always a surprise. And so the people that do talk about it, I always say it's almost like if somebody talks about wanting to commit suicide, it's almost a good sign that they're not going to do it because they're talking about it.
I mean, except for like Twitter culture, which is like, ha, I dropped my pen. Guess I'll just go kill myself.
Well, it's I was when they were bringing like her texts up in court and things like that, I was like, how, if this case was like now with the way trolls and people operate on Twitter and like cyberbullying, being like, when people comment like 800 times, like, kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself. And it's like, when can that be considered into a court? I know the main thing was like
the same
comeback.
Argument.
But you know what I mean? Where it's like, how, so if some, like, if a random person in like.
If somebody gets bullied enough on social media and does kill themselves, do that all those people that said, kill yourself, did they all get. That's a good question.
Stay in, but it's still they led them to that.
I mean, I had like, this conversation with my friends in my group chat, and like I asked them, I said, do you think this is going to set a precedent? And one of my friends said no, because all of the language, like I'll pull up these texts right now.
And while you're pulling up those texts, I want to say one thing. It was kind of annoying how many text messages were in the documentary.
I was trying to like clean and do stuff, and there was a lot of reading in the documentary.
I was eating popcorn. I would go down
and
pick
like
up a kernel.
I was squinting at all those texts. Also, they didn't need to do the text sound every single fucking time.
But they
time.
Needed you to know that this is when texting. It is kind of crazy that in what they kept saying about this like modern day romance is that you could literally go back. We traced their whole romance was their whole relationship
was online
text.
Guys, that's every fucking episode of Catfish. Like, come on.
I thought you were going to say that's all of my day.
I know.
No, but okay. So what I was going to say was I had this conversation with my friends. I asked, because after watching the documentary, I was like, you know what? I think her sentencing was like pretty fair. The only thing that I would be worried about is that, is this going to set this legal precedent where like, if you say kill yourself to someone, they happen to kill themselves, are you going to be legally responsible?
Well, I think that was the
my friend kind question. Of thinks, I mean, she's not a lawyer, but I'll just give her a bit. And she thinks no, because basically the judge didn't think all of these messages, like her saying, for instance, you just need to do it, Conrad, or I'm going to get you help. You can't break a promise. Just go in a quiet parking lot or something. None of that language was what made her responsible. Her telling him to get back in the car, allegedly, and knowing what he was doing and not calling for help was really what made her responsible.
During the time,
don't know if it would set this crazy precedent.
Yeah,
I thought it was a thing that a lot of the language that she was saying, they kind of like leveled the playing field where she was saying that, but also he had a history of suicide attempts. Do you know what I mean? Because I know they were saying like he obviously like, I mean,
and they'd been
he
talking about it
they
every
were
couple
about
of weeks. He said it was every couple
like
of weeks. He'd say, I'm going to kill myself. Yeah. And she'd be like, did you do it? And then they would do it again.
But like, did you guys read all these texts?
I mean, I read what was on the
I was going to say, you should have read all these texts, because like, okay, at 12:57 p.m., he says, I'm in the worst pain right now. Like, it's unbearable. She goes, I think it's time to do it now then. Do you agree? Conrad, please answer me. Like, and it's just, it's all this stuff. Like, it's constant. And she's like instructing
she's like badgering
him. Yeah, she's kind of badgering him. It's not just like a one-off, like, oh, do what you want, or like
but
whatever
again,
he feels
right.
Again, these
are two people that are both attempted suicide, that both talk to each other about committing suicide.
And I feel like
it's like a very, it's two sick people leaning on two
just,
sick
I
people.
Yeah, I think it's way different than just being an internet troll.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. For that argument, absolutely right.
Like, she was very involved in this death, and I feel like you can't really deny that.
No, she was holding his hand all the way through. And I think, honestly, it seems like if it was reversed, it might have even been the same thing like we were talking about. It might have, if she was the one that was taking the lead, it seems like they were like tapping into each other's darkness. Even when he's like, I saw the devil. And she's like, what did he do? You know, like,
and she was like, I saw him too. Yeah.
And honestly, like I could buy the argument that she thought that what she was doing was a merciful sort of thing. I could buy that, honestly.
Because it's a weird, when still, she was like, so we're going to hell together, right. I'll go to hell.
Yeah, we're going to hell together.
You,
yeah, it's like
that.
Yeah. there was a lot of darkness between their relationship. And again, the crazy part is the way she acted afterwards, like saying, like, oh my God, I'm a celebrity, LOL. That doesn't help. But I also think that's part of her. This girl's probably fucking bipolar or like manic. When, like, there's things wrong with her.
I'm forgetting her friend's name that she was texting, Olivia, I want to say. When it's like that Alice storyline that I was just completely, I had no clue about that. When that's like a kind of thing where she was getting attention, she's like, oh no, like I might be bi, like I love her. We all hung out and stuff like that. And this girl, Alice, and her mom are like, no.
But we also don't know any truth of that either. Do you know what? Especially since they were so quick to respond. Like, they were like, the only reason why we want to come on here is to say that's not true. And that could just be also a mom being like, no daughter of mine is ever going to be a lesbian with some killer. You know, like, so we don't know.
I did love how woke her friend Olivia was, being like, oh.
Olivia, come on the pod.
Olivia.
She's like 12 years old.
Yeah.
Well, now she's like 22 probably.
Oh, you're right. Time passes.
That's like Blue Ivy 7. Yeah. Let that sink in.
You're right.
Yeah. And I will say there was obviously Michelle lied at first to say, no, I didn't talk to him. And she was texting with his family while she was texting with him.
That was also pretty pathological. That was fucked.
And like asking for some of his ashes. Yeah.
Oh my God. Asking for that. I literally forgot about that. I'm like, yo, the audacity.
Yeah.
Ask for your boyfriend's ashes.
But she thought she was a big, he was talking to her probably more than he talked to his own family about shit. Like he was up in his room probably texting. They probably didn't even know him at that point. Like they didn't know who he was.
And the thing that really kind of put like shined a light on their mental state was when they would like read their text message and they're like, this just makes no, like when they would just be like peach, tomato, apple, salt. Things like that going back and forth was kind of just like, oh, these people just need an outlet to communicate to someone, even if they're not communicating and they don't even know what. I felt like they were just saying things like to have this bond. And it was a very weird moment of like how they interacted and how they depended on each other. But I also feel like because they never met in real life, they
met a few times.
Or they met a few times, but like,
dating. They weren't
dating.
Like, they also only lived an hour apart and they only saw each other five times.
So that's why I felt like it's a thing. My mom will drop us off. Yeah. Your mom has to pick us up. It's a whole thing.
The mom's like,
know?
I'll drop off, but I'm not picking up.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I felt like it's a thing where they each were their like dark outlets of something. And then that's just kind of like, because none of them really had parental. Watch, I mean, like my parents never looked at my phone growing up, but also I never.
We didn't have it. I had my own like physical landline.
Yeah. But it's a thing.
Guys,
it's like,
can I share a secret? It's not a secret. It's a confession. I had to share a phone with my sister and my brother in 7th and 8th grade.
A cell phone?
Literally. One brick cell phone between the three of us.
Really?
Ooh. Yes.
You guys had to hang out together all the time.
No, we would just pass the phone off.
Just to
play
Snake.
But you had like all of their stuff on there too. Like all of their friends. So it's guys' numbers.
It was like, what year was it? 2004?
Yeah.
So, I mean, no, you're not storing anything on there. There's no storage.
My favorite.
You could just have Brick Breaker and Snake.
Oh, I love Snake. My favorite in middle school, I got the Envy because I was like, I need this.
No, I loved that
And
phone.
Then I was like, who am I texting?
No,
I
have no one. That was my favorite phone. I was like,
I literally put I was very Gossip Girl, which is coming back.
Yeah. We've gone off the way off the rails.
I know. I liked the Razor. I had the Razor.
I do like the Razor, and it fit in the pockets.
Oh,
just
it
was
so sleek.
It was sleek.
It was so sleek.
Okay, so you guys kind of think that. I mean, I also think. Yeah, it was this dark, twisted, weird ass, fucked up love story. Also, like, let's talk about this. Teens in general are pretty fucking emo. They're pretty fucked up.
Y'all gotta watch Euphoria because they fucked up now.
Yeah, they're going.
The kids
through
are not okay.
There's so much happening in their brains. There's like their brains are being taken over by hormones. They cannot control themselves.
And being
kids are wild
too. Like every like preteen generation I think has their own like emo phase. Like mine was like Panic at the Disco.
Girl, I was
now
a scene queen.
Right?
Oh, these bangs
scene
have
queens?
Stories.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you just have like emo rappers like Lil Uzi Vert. It's iterations of the same thing. Like kids are just fucked up.
Well, and also it's a thing too where they have like every single thing, every time like something new comes up, I immediately think of like how would this have bullied me in middle school? Do you know what I mean? It's like even that like old face app that's run by Russia, everyone delete it now. Like imagine like it's
or
like,
just lean in.
I'm for one. Welcome our Russian overlords.
Hi, like, Russia.
I'm like, Vlad? No, but they like something like that, which is like so silly and harmless to us, but like imagine in like sixth grade someone makes a picture of you old and everyone passes around and then it's suddenly like a joke and you get bullied. Like there's so many things that could just set you off growing up that it's like such a hard time. And then these kids now having texting and MySpace and things like that. It's insane.
Well, it was 2014, so they didn't have MySpace anymore, Danny.
Oh, my God.
They're like going off of MySpace.
You're
like,
old.
Oh, guys, Monster Energy. Oof, I ran Bamboozle. Oh, my God.
Side guys, note. What are these words?
Side note. You don't, Bamboozle?
What's
you
Bamboozle? No, nobody had a Bamboozle.
Anyone from New Jersey, the tri-state area, if you went to Bamboozle, damn couch this. Oh, Bamboozle.
Oh, the concert thing?
Yes.
Oh, I know.
If you were a Bamboozle bitch, slide in the DMs. We'll talk.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, okay. Now what was
that? We'll talk Jeffree Star.
Limp Bizkit and Korn.
Wasn't it like pre-warp?
I had an envy.
It was like Warp Tour-ish?
What was Bamboozle?
No, it was like Warp Tour. It was like Forever the Sickest Kids, Cute is What We Aim For, Mayday Parade.
You really were seen as fuck.
Oh, I
wow! I've when never I tell heard you, of any of those.
Danny Famous Face was my MySpace name. If we were friends on MySpace, let me know.
Oh my God! No, I just wore a lot of eyeliner, and my parents were like, "Why are you doing this?"
Oh my gosh! Wait, but I was wondering. This is kind of because like the Glee obsession. I feel like so many people were obsessed with because it was so weird. Do you guys have a show that would have been is like your show that you were like so obsessed with in high school or something like that?
No, because I watched like Flavor of Love and Rock of Love and
in
the
high
Real
school.
World.
Oh my God, Tiffany!
Yeah,
Pollard.
When I was like 15. Yeah,
I guess I used to come home. Well, I had an unhealthy obsession with NSYNC when I was in high school, and I would like come home and watch TRL and make sure that they were like number one. There was also these two shows that came on around that time. I don't know if did you guys ever watch? They had made a show of Sweet Valley High and of Breaker High,
Sorry, guys.
This is for MySpace.
Breaker High won Mr. Ryan Gosling. It was a Canadian show about a high school on a fucking boat.
What?
Yeah. And it came on, so I would go home. I would watch. TRL came on, I think, at like 5, but at 4 o'clock was Sweet Valley High. 4:30 was Breaker High, and then I would make sure that NSYNC was number one, and then secretly get mad that Britney was dating Justin, and that was my life. And then I had a little bit of acne, and then I went on pills, and then I got crazy, and you know, rinse, lather, and repeat.
Yeah. Wow!
And here we are.
And then you go and you just talk about it. But that was I was obsessed with NSYNC. Like there was a time where AOL chat rooms, and I knew where they were every minute of the day.
You would just text people. It's tearing up my heart.
It was a weird summer that I was just in a computer room like, I heard they're in North Carolina. Somebody's talking about a gas station. Like, it was fucking crazy. I had a girl that I met in line. I went to like a Tower Records like to buy tickets, and I met a girl in line that we were like friends for like years.
Oh,
and we would just talk about it.
Oh,
it was
God.
Wild. Stop. It was an unhealthy obsession. So the way she felt about Glee, I felt that my soulmate was Justin Timberlake.
I love that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He liked light blue. I like light blue.
Oh my gosh.
Well, and you're wearing light blue.
Oh my Shut God. Your fucking you face. This is all fucking subconscious. I still am obsessed. No, I'm not. I've let him go.
How it wasn't even that she quoted Glee, which is pretty insane, especially past like season 2, because we all know it jumped the shark. But
how dare
it really
you.
Did.
How but the she, music stayed true.
Okay, yeah. But the crazier part was how she would watch Lea Michele interviews, who frankly I find so annoying. And she would
that
quote
was the
what
crazy
she said
part.
In
she
the
didn't
interviews.
Even, she didn't quote the just the show.
No,
she quoted the she real life out, Lea Michele
exactly.
about
the interviews
it
when she after yeah. losing Corey.
Like she clearly thought that she was like her. Yeah. That was
But
wild.
Again, I think everything that she did, as crazy as it was, can all be chalked up to the fact that she is sick.
Well, I mean, yeah. I don't think any like sane, well-adjusted, stable person is going to be doing this shit.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of
it just causes
wild.
Me to feel very bad for her. I feel like when I think about Michelle, like as opposed to like we said, when you hear it first, I had intense like this, like you think about the crazy side and you think about the negative crazy side, but watching this, I felt deep sadness for her because I was like, this is a girl that was so misunderstood, that didn't have any friends in her life, that the only thing she could cling on to was this guy that lives an hour away who was also feeling as out of place and as out of sorts as she was.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What do you guys make of her not calling for help, knowing full well what he was doing?
Yeah, that's the...
I don't think she was in her right mind.
It's also a thing where she thought she was, and they mentioned this in the case, she thought in that moment, even though it was the wrong thing to do, she thought that it was what she was supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they talked for, they were on the, they had 2 45-minute long phone calls while he was going through all that.
Yeah.
So, and any, like, so it shows that she was very driven, that she's like, this is what has to happen for us type of thing.
Well, that's almost why I think that she should be culpable, because she knew exactly what she was doing. It's not that she didn't know right for wrong. Mm. It's that she thought it was right. And that's kind of half the thing.
Well, I feel like it's a thing where she should be commit, like she should be in a,
I don't think, especially in the American prison system, I don't think that's the place for her.
That's my issue.
I think after prison, she should definitely go to a mental institution.
But I think she should just let her walk free would be insane.
Well, and that's what I was confused
for the last 4 years.
That's where I was confused. I'm like, Boston, what are we doing? Where it's like, she should have just after this been in.
Well, they let it well because they kept appeal. Because they had to appeal the appeals, and they let her be free for the appeals and then took her into custody.
Which is weird. Can you just do that? Like, what? Stephen Avery didn't get to do that. That's pretty wild.
Well, it's like Stephen Avery. It's like if your name is Michelle Carter from Boston.
Oh my God.
How can I take them fucking seriously?
I know. And he's like, she did not murder this guy. You're like, oh my God.
Like, I'm like Blake Lively's like, oh, I know. I can do Boston. Yeah. She like watched these recordings and was like, I'm doing the town.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
And it was part her name, Michelle Carter. Yeah.
Michelle Carter.
Carter.
Yeah. It all is part of
the
whole.
He was in a car.
It is the whole thing. No, it is wild. But I mean, I think she should have been getting some kind of psychiatric help before she went in. We don't know if she did or not. We don't really know what she was
up to.
I would be very interested to see if she did or not, because I feel like she needed it.
Because they did jump. And I mean, I guess the documentary was just about the case. But I feel like I would have appreciated to know what was going on between those times. Because I know there were times when Conrad's... parents are mad that they saw pictures of Michelle like on school trips or like at like events or at like a DECA tournament and stuff like that, where it's sort of like,
well, what's she supposed to do? Not go to school?
Oh no, I know what you mean, but it's like
but they were mad. I'm arguing to them fictionally. You know what I mean? It's an apostrophe.
I would have loved to see but it would have been interesting to see how was Michelle after this, like interacting with people, like how was she at school and like what was she getting treatment? Do you know what I mean?
Because they never really were people still friends with her. Unfortunately, the family refused multiple times to comment, and she had nobody close to her.
I mean, she had those friends that were kind of just like, I don't know, she was kind of my friend. Like, even the people that she was texting all this, like, very serious stuff to
were still kind of just like, isn't that kind of crazy to be like, I don't even like her that much? It's like, she opened up to you about some demons. That's pretty fucking crazy.
I never knew if she was being truthful.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I guess they never knew. I feel like everybody knows like a pathological liar who you're just like,
that's what I'm saying. I totally can understand. I can feel the friends. I like can feel the probably like anxiety of a friend being like, ugh, Michelle won't stop texting me about this fucking, this her and boyfriend wanting to kill himself. Like, it's not my problem.
And also
like,
when
she dumped her shit on somebody else, which I don't think is
and
fair.
And also I feel like they didn't skate over because there wasn't that much to talk about, but when she was talking about how like when she accused Conrad of maybe raping her but then maybe not
so glossed over,
and
that was strange.
It was so and I want to say it wasn't even the Esquire journalist, I feel like, who brought it up.
Yep.
Who was, and he was amazing in the documentary. I thought he was very...
Oh, yeah, when he's like, they were just cherry-picking. He's even said they cherry-picked when she was lying, when she was telling the truth.
Yeah, so that's the thing where it's like exactly that, where it's like, if everything she's saying is true, then what about this aspect of it? And that aspect wasn't even brought up during court. I'm not saying, I don't really know if I...
Well,
believe
look,
that,
a prosecutor is not going to give like a fair portrayal.
No,
but I mean
obviously.
Like from the, her lawyer, Mr. Like Wahlberg or whatever the fuck he was. He literally just only looked so sweaty. He was just like, I want an appeal. Yeah, you're like, he's British.
This isn't a crime. Yeah. It's not a crime. She didn't help.
And I was waiting for, I guess because it was reality, when he went to give his closing statement, I was expecting, oh, we're going to, buckling in, and he just had two sentences like, ah, yeah. And we're like, okay.
Do you think that, I don't think that was all, because I think closing statements are often like minute, like 30 minutes to hours.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, think well, they that's just my, cut it. Okay, because I was like, I don't think I'm a that good was wife a girl. I usually see them, I would buckle in for them, and that
are
was
they
nothing.
30 minutes long?
They're long as fuck. Jodie Picoult would tell you that.
Wait, guys, now I want to hang out with Jodie Picoult.
I know.
No, she I think closing awesome. Statements going to be like,
I think she lives long. In New Hampshire.
Yeah, she's definitely on the side. She's on the side of the world for sure. But yeah, I don't know. It's such a weird one that you feel like there's got to be punishment, but it does feel very muddy.
It's that sad thing. It's that thing where, I mean, this happens, I feel like, a lot with true crime documentaries, but sometimes I get a little, I leave with like, oh, justice. I'm justice. Yes. Good. But I just feel so sad for everyone involved, which isn't like
this is
that shocking, but it's like
case.
No one, obviously there was a loss. No one wins, but like these both, yep. Both sides of this just have families that will never be the same. These kids, one passed away, and that's yep. The other one who will is just broke. Something's broken in her. Type
Something
of
snapped.
Well,
yeah.
Now on Monday, her team appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, claiming that her texts should be considered free speech. How do you guys feel about this?
It's a thing where I'm like,
I don't know what do we I don't know. I think
I like
it's,
how we're just doing guttural moans.
I know.
Yeah. Like, but it's that thing where it's like, in the same sense that someone tweeting, go kill yourself is free speech. Sure, but that's not free speech that should totally be promoted. But then at the same time, everyone has the right to their own free speech.
But I get
right.
it. It's
I
a
mean,
hot button topic it's a hot, right now.
Right.
So
I don't
you
think that the
it,
court
people.
Is, I don't think that the Supreme Court
I don't think
is
anything's
going to
happen with that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to take that case. I think they're, because it's too high profile. Yeah. Like everybody has an opinion.
And right now that's like kind of like, do you know how like the Woodstock 50 is trying to happen? Like they've been shut down
oh
five
my God.
Times. Let's just, yeah. this is not, nothing going to
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, they haven't even sold any tickets.
And she's
they
only.
They don't have a space.
Right.
Oh, but they're trying to do Woodstock again?
In less than a month. And
I know,
the town
I really
still
wanted
won't.
To go.
I wanted to go as well.
Is it here? Where is it?
No, it's
nowhere as of
well,
now. Because
it's supposed to be in Watkins Glen.
Yeah. But
where
the
like original Woodstock was.
The town
it's
keeps on shutting
thing.
It down. Yeah.
And it's supposed to happen?
In
allegedly.
This is Fire Festival.
No, it's worse
that's
than Fire Festival.
That's why I
want to
go.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm Wait, going. I'm bringing stacks of toilet paper. We're bringing our water bottles,
have
Danny.
To go.
Yes.
We're going
to
live stream the entire thing.
I would like
thing.
To wear fringe.
Oh my God, we should yes. bring record.
We're going to live podcast
if
Fire Festival too.
If that does happen, I think we actually have to go.
100%. I already applied for a press pass. They never got back to me.
Because they don't have a...
they don't have regular ass passes that you pay for.
Yeah.
Whatever. Stay tuned on that.
Wowza. Yeah. But I think as far as getting back to like, the whole thing about why they're appealing it, it's like, she's only doing 15 months.
I know.
She's
that's
been
why
free
I just,
for four,
I don't
for
feel
five,
like
no, since 2012, 12, right?
Yeah,
she's been free for 7 years.
Right.
Or no, 14.
No, it's 5 years.
14. Oh, five. That's
five
what I thought.
Years.
I was like,
right.
That's why
I think it's, I mean, she should definitely get psychiatric help. Personally, that's why I feel like this sentence is kind of appropriate. It's 15 months. She's not going to serve
all
that time.
She was a teenager.
No,
she had her own.
She's not
going to
serve all 15 months. Like, she could I last a year in jail? I don't know.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm like, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that much time.
When
she
was starting with 20, like going from 20 to like,
well, and then the other
less than a year, less than 2 years. It's like, all right,
they had asked for what they say. They said no less than 7, no more than 12 or something like that. That's what they asked for.
No years.
No years.
Like, oh, initially. Yeah. And the judge was like, no.
That's like, I thought the I thought the sentencing was very fair for what it was.
How did you guys feel that they opted for no jury?
I know. I think it was, I feel like.
That was her choice.
I know.
It was her choice.
How do you feel about that?
I think 100%. Oh, like,
well, as a lawyer.
Tell me, Miss Levine.
I do like their point of view. And it was interesting because I guess there is truth to that juries work on emotion.
100%.
Versus the lawyer is only. And also like the judge can be like, I'm not going to watch the news, quote unquote. But you know, if you're the jury, you're going home, you're texting people, and
you're
like,
seeing
oh
what's
God,
yeah.
What
the jury would have fucking fried her.
Oh, yeah.
She would have gotten 20
her.
Years.
Yes.
I feel like if there
well,
was a jury.
Well, a jury doesn't sentence her. She would still get convicted, and a judge would sentence her.
Oh.
But I think that was smart.
Yeah,
I think it was very
even
smart
the
too.
Media got facts of her case wrong. The media was saying that she like high profile, like well respected outlets, not like
saying
they were
that
saying
texted
that she had
that
texted.
Him.
Him get back in the car.
Yeah,
Paula Farris from ABC. She
yeah,
said
literally.
It.
ABC yeah. was saying that. That was not true. So imagine just what a jury would think.
I do think it was, there was a kind of moment when the Esquire journalist, when she first started, she was like, yeah, you know, she came in, white shirt, spray tanned. And I was like, what? And like in
yeah,
the first
right,
part
when
one,
was
I was like,
camera,
she just looks
they,
like.
Yeah.
But she didn't look that shockingly not like a teenager, I felt.
No, she looked like a teenager in 2015 or whatever. Yeah,
that's like when everyone's like, oh, and this is her appearance. I'm like, no,
she definitely got skewered in the media, like when she happened to be making a weird face and it was like plastered all over Nancy Grace and stuff. They're like, what is that smirk? And it's like, she probably just like had to sneeze or something like that.
And also imagine her face when you're on trial.
Yeah.
And also, because like it's the thing too, where it's like, this was such a media heavy case. So they're like, how can we make an angle from it to get traffic and get views for it? And it's like, oh, well, in like dissect this thing that isn't really a thing, but we're going to make it a thing for this.
Mm-hmm. The media is crazy, you guys.
Media is hot take. Guys, you know what?
Fake news.
The media crazy.
The media is crazy.
No, it's like kind of crazy.
I don't know. She's going to get out. All we can do is hope that she is. I know.
And so then I'm just, do you guys feel like any, like HBO will make like a, because they already did the docuseries, like kind of like a filmed one? Or
well, I remember
are they doing one?
I don't know. I remember reading, I think I wrote this article that Bella Thorne got cast to play her in some
movie. That's right. That's right. That's what we were talking about. Yeah.
But that seemed to never come to fruition. And also, come on, you got to cast Cara Delevingne.
Yes.
It would be a great miniseries. I could see it being a great miniseries.
And I feel like it's so fucked up of us.
I know.
I mean, but this is what we do, though. This is what we do.
And also, because this thing, it is important, I feel like, that they can dive into some aspects that weren't touched on the scene, like
and show it exactly when you see, because there's one thing, like we watched it, we read the text messages, but it would be interesting to see it play out. Like, I wonder what would come across or what you would think in that way, because we all make our opinions based on the actual texts.
I think any docu or any series would be misleading because the filmmakers would just have to take a lot of liberties because nobody was there that night. Michelle, she'd be in prison, like. Carnage. Yeah,
well, that's like they're writing the script based off of what
exactly. Like, it would just be super fictionalized.
Yeah, so and off of a text message that was sent to her friend. We don't know what happened in the 2:45 phone calls.
Yeah.
We do know that he got out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, do we? Or is that still all? That's still all actually, from the text.
It's all from her. No, because no one knows there wasn't a camera on him.
Because did he ever, was it a phone call when he told her that I got out? Or did he text her, I got out? Was it all from her text to Sam that said he got out of the car and sure I told him to get back in the fucking car?
I want to, because I remember that text that she sent to Sam. I think that was the case word. So that's when they went to like the cherry picking of text messages that are truth and which ones are just like bogus.
Yeah. Wild.
I don't know. I'm just kind of reading to see if he does. Let's see. You guys keep talking.
Well, while you're scrolling that, you know, it's an interesting thing. I feel like one of our co-hosts has an issue now with an Instagram handle. Because we got Sarah F. Carter here.
We do have Sarah F. Carter.
And now it's kind of tainted.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if he said in text that he got out of the car.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's all from the same thing.
Yeah.
Huh.
But yeah, Sarah put up that she wasn't sure she wanted to hold the Carter last name anymore. Yeah.
I know.
That's a little skewed. What was the, because you did a poll, what was the poll results? Do you know?
The poll results were semi-overwhelmingly keep it.
Okay.
I didn't say because of Michelle Carter. I just meant like in general. It's also like I'm trying to be like an actual person. Basically, I did this fake last name on Facebook when I was like looking for jobs and like all my pictures were in college of me like, I don't know, playing Edward 40 hands and doing dumb shit like that.
And now I feel like you do that for work here.
Yeah, literally.
You literally found a job that was like, do you have any pictures? She has 7 boxes of
Franzia at her desk.
Oh, yeah, just me personally.
Edward Franzia hands.
Yeah. That's why I'm so ripped.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. Yeah, that's why I'm so ripped. So I just made this Facebook name that I was like, nobody's ever going to find it. It's not like when your Facebook friends do their first name and their middle name. Like, no one's going to find this. I'm like, everybody knows what this is. I made up this totally new name. Then it just kind of became like a persona. Mm. So I was like, whatever. I'll just lean into it.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, should I lean back out? I don't know.
Like, am I too far?
That's your book. Lean out.
Literally, am I lean out? Too deep.
That's going to be the next fad. Everyone is like, you lean in out. Everyone's going to be like, just lean the fuck out.
I'm leaning out.
Stop. We don't need to be. We don't need to be by this at all.
No.
Well, do we have any like other, is there any other lasting like theories or anything that we think, I mean, I think
I don't have any theories. I think life is going to be really hard for her when she gets out of
jail.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, she made herself so unmistakable, like with them those eyebrows, things that she's going to try to get a job. Her life is going to be fucked when she gets out.
Her eyebrows are clearly dyed and tinted. Those are not her real eyebrows. She can go back to her natural ones. I don't think it's that serious.
I think that people are going to recognize her. And I think that regardless of whether or not we put her in jail or we don't put her in jail or she gets out, she's going to be tainted by this for the rest of her life. And people are not going to kind of.
Oh, I mean, no kidding.
And do you
also imagine, like, no one's going to want to date her. Like, that's scary.
Maybe Alice will. But I don't, I actually haven't. Although I don't know if they said that. Do you know if she going to be doing?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, everyone got a man.
She'll do great. Yeah.
Like she's going to be the next Bachelorette. But do you know, is she doing solitary confinement or does she have a cellmate?
No, I don't think she would do. I have no fucking idea.
So then it's like, that's what I never get. I'm like, so now this, that's where it's like, she's going to have this need to like please and confusion in jail. So I'm interested to see like what.
Let's get some filmmakers on the inside.
Yeah.
I'm like, Sarah, get arrested. Go there. Bring an iPhone.
Yeah.
Does anybody know the
Sarah F. Cotta.
Sarah F. Cotta. I'm a cousin of Michelle Cotta. Yeah, they'll put us
in because they think we're like related. They do like alphabetical order.
Oh, man. Is that how cells work?
No. I just made that up. I was joking.
I
would have believed
they
that.
They don't teach you that in Chicago.
They do not. He had it coming, but alphabetically.
You guys need to watch.
Chicago guys, girl, I've seen it.
Yeah. I was going to say, you need to watch more Law and Order and less like musicals.
How dare you?
Take it back.
Take it back. I watch Sex and the City.
The audacity of you. More Law and Order, less musicals.
Oh my God, wait. I'm like, what if, like, if only there's a way to, like, if there's, like, Broadway murders, we do a musical murder episode. I don't know if there's been any, but.
I will have to bow out of that because I can't sing.
Get out of here.
We're not going to sing it, but we're going to talk. I mean, we
have. Oh, I thought you meant it was a musical episode. We
could talk about Broadway ghosts, all the ghosts and stuff like that, and all the legends of the theater.
Guys, nobody wants to hear that shit.
You know what? You said no one wanted to hear about damn couch, and let me tell you, listen, people wanted to hear about damn couch.
Oh my God, you guys went crazy on damn couch.
And it was
y'all broke us.
It was disturbing. It was disturbing how many of you were like, well, actually, see, the thing is that when your body is poisoned, it usually pees or vomits, and then that's why they probably cleaned it up. Like, so many of you got so scientific. No, I was like,
they might actually be secret serial killers.
You are all serial killers.
I'm telling
we appreciate
you, super
it.
Super secret serial killers. That's the new fan name. I'm sorry, but it's what
you guys
it is.
Are all
I think
super
it's all the Killaritas.
I like Killaritas.
I know, which is actually kind of cute.
Like a
Limerita.
Like Limerita Killaritas. That's kind of cute.
Maybe we can get Limerita to sponsor us.
I would love a Limerita.
Can I tell you, I actually love a Limerita.
I like a Watermelonarita.
Yeah.
The last time I had
does it even make sense?
Anything like that, I had a strawberryta and I like blacked out in like the woods in Georgia when I was camping.
Buddy,
so
those things are like 2 inches tall.
Yeah.
What happened?
No,
the tall boys.
Giant ones.
Oh, you got the big ones. Like, those liquor. Are in baby cans.
I don't understand anything about that sentence. Camping in Georgia, strawberry.
Well, you understood blacking out.
Yes, now I'm here with you.
That's the part that we all connect
to. And tall boy.
Yes. We all connect. Tall boy, and tall boy.
Oh, the New York blackout. Who cares?
Oh, my God. But yes, damp couch. Apparently, it was either piss or vomit. Thank you guys so much for explaining what happens
to
the body.
It's like, we understand that something happened and they tried to clean it up on the couch and it probably just wasn't damp because there was a leak in the ceiling. Like, we got it.
So let's see.
Leaky
let's see.
Ceiling.
I know.
That's new.
Hashtag leaky ceiling.
And he's like, all of a sudden the pipes just burst the day that she went missing. So for as far as the Michelle Cotta post, do we think, let's put one up. Let's see. Do you guys think, are you blaming mental illness? Or are you blaming dark forces? Do you think she was, I mean, I'm saying, do you think she was malicious or do you think she was, do you think
and
there
like
was a.
The complexities
I think
in between.
I think it can be both. Yeah. And definitely DM us your thoughts, NITC pod.
Yeah. I want to know if people, the documentary or the series changed anybody's point of view or did it enlighten things?
Yes.
That's
because it changed my thoughts.
It changed mine a lot.
It changed my thoughts for sure.
If you guys search Michelle Carter on Twitter, it's pretty crazy because people are really divided. There are so many people who are like, free Michelle Carter, and so many people who are like, this evil bitch.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I don't understand how you could watch the documentary and not feel like a little bit more nuanced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does nuanced mean again?
Like subtle shades of gray.
Okay. That was a real question. I was like,
thought you were mocking me, and I was like, I'm just gonna lean into
this.
I
went with it, and then I just realized I don't actually know what it meant.
Oh, yeah. That first, you're like, yep.
I'm gonna start using like fake words. Condobulated.
Condobulated. Jesus Christ.
We have so many shirts to make. Does anyone have a printing press?
Right? Is that
yes.
A, yeah. You guys just said that like it was our old friend who we forgot about.
Condobulated.
How's he been?
Girl, is he scuba diving? Let a bitch know.
Oh my God.
But also, we have like really fun things ahead.
We have so many things again.
We got notes apps of stuff happening.
Can we spoil some things? Should we
Let's spoil some things.
Yeah, everyone's been talking about Jonestown. We're fucking doing it.
We're doing Jonestown.
Casey Anthony, that bitch might get a two-parter.
That's coming. That's coming.
Anything else?
Well, we have a... there's a fun thing coming next week.
Yes.
We have a
We have to sign things about.
Super secret surprise.
Imagine the three of us with an NDA and none of us are in jail yet. I don't know how.
I can't believe it.
Yep.
Spoiler alert, it is not Beyonce talking about The Lion King. But
spoiler alert, an NDA and it's a non-disclosure agreement. I like to say it because, listen, if you said NDA to me, you know, last year I would have been like,
you'd be like, what sport is that?
I would have been like, yeah, I like the Warriors.
They should pay the women more on that.
Yeah.
We're working on some really fun things. Involving you guys.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
We're working on shit. So, so just
get excited.
I know you guys
fall
are going to keep listening. So we're excited to keep having you.
And
we don't
Casey,
have to
Danny,
tell you.
Do you guys have any fun shows coming up?
I have a show this Thursday at Union Hall. Pass the Ox Beyonce. It's in Brooklyn. Come hang out. It's a fun time.
This Thursday, what's the date?
25th.
All right.
At 8 p.m.
Okay.
Tickets in my bio.
Perfect. So, Thursday the 25th, 26th, 27th, I'm going to be at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. I know somebody's already reached out. Let me know. I'm sure I have a list of something of some sorts. If you're in Connecticut and want to come, reach out to me on my personal at @CaseFaceB, and we'll make it happen. But yeah, Mohegan Sun, Comics Roadhouse in Connecticut.
Fabulous. Love that. I don't do stand up. Somebody told me that I should, and I was like, I only write tweets. I could just get up there and read my Twitter
some people's
feed.
Act.
I was gonna say, can I tell you, go to some shows in Brooklyn and it's a PowerPoint of their tweets. And
honestly.
Well, and maybe that will be my future one day.
There you go.
Who
knows?
I mean, you might have an opportunity in the future.
Obviously, if you haven't listened to the Wait, What About Jeffrey Epstein, listen to that. I listened to that because I had no idea.
Yeah,
I was
that's a good one.
That yesterday.
Yo, that guy is crazy.
It's wild, and it's so crazy how you guys are talking about, like, Trump knows a lot of rapists.
Did you see the
takes
video?
One to know one.
Takes one.
We turned the video from 1992 today. That was him talking to Jeffrey Epstein about, like, oh, she's hot. At a party.
Yeah, I don't need to watch that shit.
Yeah.
Listen to that as a crossover with the Betches.
Go listen to that.
Yeah, someone said that they love that we did an episode with another Betches podcast. So
yeah, we definitely want to do that more.
Yeah, we're working on all kinds
tweet
of stuff.
It's a little hard of a crossover sometimes, but with the sub, it definitely works.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, we got over 600 reviews right now. Please rate and review some more. Give us 5 stars.
5 stars. If you're not going to give us 5 stars, then don't bother.
Just please don't.
Yeah. It won't save if you don't give us 5 stars.
Yeah, that's what iTunes.
Actually, your phone will explode. In your pocket.
Elizabeth Holmes told us that.
Actually, we'll send someone to come murder you.
Actually, I will find your nickname that you gave yourself and slice one of your fingers off.
Yeah, Casey knows Russia. She can do it.
I know
Casey
Russia. I did the old face app. So me and Russia, we tight. We tight ass tight.
Oh, I love these. But yeah, follow us on Instagram, NACC Pod. Twitter is the same thing. I tweet there sometimes. We have a fun Facebook group, not another
Facebook
true crime group.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
people
mm-hmm.
are posting their theories. We're getting pretty active. It's a good time.
It's a good time.
Yeah. And follow me. I'm at Kashmir Danny, Kashmir with a K on Instagram.
I'm Sarah F. Carter for now with no H.
Casey at @CaseFaceB.
Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Betches.